Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 20 years now. And so we praise the Lord for that, for this radio station, and for all the prayers and the provision, and most of all for you, the listener. And we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about the basics of salvation, the mechanics of salvation. And so this is going to be a great message. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. And we hope this message finds a place in your heart. And if you've been with us for many years, we say thank you to you. And we appreciate you for coming each and every Sunday. So if you have your Bible there, turn it to John chapter 3, and we're going to take up this story about Nicodemus and the basics of salvation here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your son, Jesus, most of all, the death that he died, the blood that he shed. Father, we thank you for this great nation, for the freedom we have to come on the radio and speak your word and speak the blessings of your kingdom on the radio. And Father, we thank you for the administration. We pray for President Trump. We pray for the cabinet. Pray for the local leaders, local government leaders in the state offices and the county offices. Father, we thank you for this great nation. We ask you to bless President Trump. Give him wisdom. Give him humility. And we thank you, Lord, that you have shown favor to this nation. You blessed this nation. And we thank you for the wisdom that you have given him. Father, we pray for the Africa mission. We thank you for all that you've done for us here in Kenya. We pray for the children's home, for the children there. Give them encouragement, strengthening, good health. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided for them for 8 years now in that children's home. We pray for the church, the pastors, and the other churches that we have. We pray for the school project that we have in mind. Father, we ask you to put provision in our hand that we can start working on that school project, get it completed, get children in that school. Father, we pray for the country of Kenya, that you would give humility and wisdom to the president here, President Ruto. We ask you to bless him. And Father, give him humility and integrity, that he would rise up to be a man of character, be a great leader for this nation, that he would fulfill his destiny to be a great leader that this nation needs. Father, we thank you again for your word that teaches and instructs us, reproofs and rebukes us. And we thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get started today, I just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? We're in the short rain season. The rain started in earnest this week, and we've got our maize planting started. We're planting a couple acres of maize by hand this year, and the fall rains go from about the 1st of September until the middle of December, usually. Sometimes they quit in late November, but that's what's called the fall rains or the short rain season. And so we've got our maize planted. We're getting ready to plant vegetables. We have a big project in mind for the ministry. We want to build a school out there at Makunda between the children's home and the church. We have 2 acres of land, and 1 acre will be the construction site. The other acre will be the football field or the soccer field. And so we want to invite you to come along with the ministry and help support that project. We're asking the Lord for $300,000 to get that school built. It'll be a primary school, 8 to 10 classrooms, dining room, administrative block. And so that is the project we have in mind. If you think you can help us, pray about your part. Get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. We can talk about the details of that project and ask the Lord to pierce your heart, that you can come along and help with that project. So today we're going to be talking about the basics of salvation. And if you're not a believer, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're going to want to listen to this very carefully. I'm going to outline the basics of salvation, what steps you need to take in your life so that you will know that you will know that you're saved. And when your life comes to an end, whether it's tomorrow or next week or 20 years from now, you will know that you will know that you're saved, and you will have that certainty, you will have that blessed assurance, and you will not be confused about it. You'll not be wondering what's going to happen to you after you die. And this is very important. It gives you peace that passes all understanding, and it gives you the focus for your life, that you know that God has a destiny, He has a purpose for your life. You're not just an accident. You're not just somebody wandering around why you're here on this earth. And so it all starts with salvation. It starts with the salvation experience and then the foundation that your life builds on Jesus Christ. The foundation of Jesus Christ in your life then becomes the foundation for everything you do, and your works then are built upon that foundation. And that's God's will for your life. And so we're going to talk about the basics of salvation. Then in the weeks ahead, we'll talk about works and the destiny that God has planned for you and what you can do in your life then to add works to that foundation of salvation. So today, turn in your Bible to chapter 3 in the book of John. And this is an amazing story. And then we'll look some more in further detail at other passages of Scripture. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So at least he recognized that Jesus was a miracle worker. And that is just one of the signs of a man of God, is that a person can do signs, wonders, and miracles. That's a sign of an apostle. The apostle Paul said that he had the signs of a true apostle. That is, that signs, wonders, and miracles went with him when he taught the gospel. And so Jesus says to this man, Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so Jesus tells Nicodemus that you have to be born again, and religious tradition, religious rituals of man will not get you into heaven. It will not get you saved. And so Jesus says this experience that you are needing so that you have the assurance of salvation is called the born again experience. Well, this was a confusing thing to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of both water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's talking about your birth when you were a baby. That's born of the flesh. And everybody, of course, who is alive has gone through that experience, the birth as a baby. And Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so Jesus says there's a spiritual birth that comes after the fleshly or the natural birth. There is a spiritual birth. And if you have not gone through that spiritual birth, you are not born again. And so that spiritual birth can come, usually, generally, starts in most people at around age 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years. Many are born again when they're 10, 12 years old, when they start to reach that age of accountability, when they start to understand the difference between good and evil and the difference between right and wrong. But it can start, that age of accountability can start even as young as 5 or 6 years old, when children start to understand that there is right things to do, right choices to make, and there are wrong things to do, wrong choices to make. And that's why you scold your children. That's why you sometimes spank them. That's why sometimes you set them in the corner. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. And so as you train your child in the ways of God, as you train them in the ways of what the Bible encourages you to discipline your child in the ways of God, and if you do that, then your child will know the difference between right and wrong. But that isn't the whole sum of the born-again experience. The born-again experience is coming to the realization that you are a sinner, coming to the realization that you have a nature that is a sin nature, the Bible calls it, the old man, the sin nature, and that you are separated from God by your sin. And so that is the recognition, the realization that you cannot be reconciled back to God or reconciled to God until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because the only way that you can deal with the sin problem in your life is that you have to be born again. You have to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then the blood of Jesus is available to you, or can be applied to you, to wash your sin away. And so that is the born again experience. Again, it comes after some years after the natural birth experience. And so unless you have been born again, you will not have that assurance of salvation. You will not know for sure what's going to happen to you after you die. And so as we speak here today, some of you listening today have never been born again. And just as Nicodemus came to Jesus, Nicodemus acknowledged the deity of Jesus by saying, "We know you're a man of God because of the signs, wonders, and miracles that follow you." But Nicodemus, though he was a very religious man, a teacher, he did not understand the born-again experience. And so Jesus said, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Well, born of water speaks of the washing of the Word. Some people say, well, that speaks of baptism. I don't believe that. I believe it speaks of the washing of the Word of God, how the Word of God delivers us, the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It's essentially Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and the Word came and dwelt among us. And so the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. When you read the Word, when you hear the Word can deliver you. The Word can set you free. The Bible says he sent his Word and he healed them, so the Word can heal you. And so when you hear the Word of God, it washes your sin away. The Word is Jesus Christ, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. And so the Word and the Spirit then allow you to be born again. The Word and the Spirit are the two things then cleanse you of that unrighteousness. Well, let's go on to verse 7 here, John 3, verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, operates on the earth, and it operates just as the wind. The wind, you don't know where it's coming from. Yes, we get meteorological reports say we're going to have a south wind, but I'm talking about the wind blowing through your compound, the wind blowing through your farm. Sometimes it swirls, sometimes it goes here, sometimes it goes there, and you don't always know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. That's the way the Holy Spirit operates in the life of a person here on the earth. The Holy Spirit is sent to convict man of sin, of righteousness and judgment, sin because the world has rejected Jesus Christ as Lord, sin because the world is ruled by the devil. And Jesus said, yes, the devil is the ruler of this world, but never mind, I have overcome the world, or I have overcome the devil. And so through the blood of Jesus, you can overcome the works of the devil in your life. And so the Holy Spirit pierces the hearts of people, convicts them of their sin. People then recognize that they have that sin nature, and they start to get a guilty conscience, a shame, and the burden of their sin starts to weigh on them. And so then they start to understand they need a Savior. They need a relief or a release of that sin burden. And beloved, when the gospel is preached, then people start to understand and acknowledge the fact that they know that Jesus Christ is the way that they can be reconciled back to God. Jesus Christ is the bridge that allows them to come back to God or go back to God in their life. And so that is the step that they must take when they realize that they are a sinner. Well, I'm going to jump down here in this same chapter, and Jesus is talking still to Nicodemus, and in verse 14, he said, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. This is a reference to an Old Testament scripture. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's speaking of the crucifixion right there. The Son of Man was nailed to that cross, and he was raised up, and so he was shown as a crucified man, but just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, then the people who looked at that serpent were freed of the sin and the torment that they were in. So when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, when people look to that, when people acknowledge that and acknowledge the blood of Jesus has the power to set them free from their sin, then they have that salvation experience. Verse 15, whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. And then verse 16, you all know this scripture, unless you have not been in a church or never read your Bible. But John 3:16, I encourage you to put this scripture to memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the conviction starts in the heart. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. You start to acknowledge that you're a sinner, and then you start to look for the way to deal with that sin nature in your life. You start to look for the way, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to Jesus Christ, either through this radio broadcast, through a TV program, maybe to a concert or a revival of some kind. And so when you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him, starts with belief, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then it goes on to talk about how sin, when it is dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ, then the condemnation of this world, the condemnation of the devil on your life from the devil, that condemnation then is removed from your life and you are set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Whom the blood of Jesus sets free is free indeed. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so that's why God doesn't just strike people dead when they sin, because God's primary goal or primary destiny for people is that they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that their life is given over to Him so that they can, while they're on this earth, so that they can do good works for the kingdom of God, bring glory to God with their life here on this earth, and then at the end of their life, then also they will take their place in heaven in the mansions that the angels have built for them. And so that is God's plan for everyone. And that is the reason He doesn't just wipe people out when they sin, even though they may be wicked, even though they may be awful in a natural point of view. They may be awful people and very despicable people. God doesn't wipe them out. He gives them opportunity to confess and repent. And so that is how the condemnation then is removed off of their life. Well, verse 18, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so people that are trapped in sin, their heart gets hardened, their conscience gets seared, and what would have caused them to have remorse or regret or shame a few years ago, the longer they stay in that sin, the more hardened their heart gets, the more callous they become, their conscience gets seared, and they can continue to do the same sinful things, even to kill people, even to stay in pornography for many, many years, or even participate in production of pornography, all these different sinful activities, then sear their conscience, and it takes a great breaking then for a person trapped in sin in that way. It takes a great breaking to bring them to a place of repentance, a place of acknowledging that they are a sinful person, and they have to deal with their sin and get right with God. Well, in verse 20, then, Jesus wraps up this passage. He says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And so when you come to the light, Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. Jesus is the bread that feeds us. Jesus is the living water. And so Jesus is all of these things, and he is the fulfillment of the law. All of these things are wrapped up in Jesus Christ and in the born-again experience when you confess and repent of your sins. Well, beloved, there's some of you listening out there today that may say, I'm a good person. I don't have any real issues in my life. I've been a good person my whole life. I care about people. I do kind things to people. But you have to understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Every single person has sinned. Doesn't matter how good of a person you are. Maybe you've been a religious person, even gone to church. But if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, you have not taken that first step in the salvation experience. Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So when you get convicted in your heart of the sin, of your sin nature, you have to confess Jesus Christ. You have to confess before men, because this is important. God doesn't want secret agent Christians. He wants you to give a testimony. He wants you to speak that Jesus is Lord, that I'm making Jesus Lord of my life, that I believe he is who he says he is. And if you don't do that, you're not born again. He wants you to put your tongue and your mouth and your words into action where other people can hear you and other people can acknowledge that you have said it. That is your confession before men. Well, then let's jump over to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there it is again. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Why is it important for you to confess that God raised him from the dead? It's because that was a supernatural event, raising Jesus up from the dead, raising him from that grave. That was a supernatural event that proved the divinity of Jesus Christ. It proved that he had power over death, that death no longer held him in his grip, that death no longer had power over Jesus, and death will no longer have power over you. The moment you close your eyes on this earth, the moment you close your eyes, you will be escorted to heaven. If you are a born-again believer, you will be escorted to heaven with the angels, and you will meet Jesus Christ in heaven. You will meet God in heaven. You'll see all of the saints and all of the people from your family who were born-again believers. You will be with them for all eternity. And so that is important for you to acknowledge that death could not hold Jesus, that he was a conqueror over death, and you will be also. And so you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then in verse 10, Romans 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, will not be put to shame. And so you believe in your heart, that's where it starts, and then you confess with your mouth so that the whole world knows this is what you believe, and you yourself hear your words say it, you hear your words, and that is your confession of faith. And then the condemnation from that point on is lifted off of you. And then the next step of obedience that you undertake is the step of baptism, water baptism. We'll talk about that next week. Baptism then is an acknowledgement, an outward acknowledgement, a fulfillment of righteousness to indicate or show what has taken place in your heart, that the belief has taken place in your heart, that your sin has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And so that is then expressed in the natural in water baptism. And so that is the basics of salvation. And beloved, if you have not been born again, if you've never been born again, and you're just like Nicodemus with lots of questions and little understanding, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I can help you find a place to get baptized. I can help you find people to mentor you and to disciple you. And so that is the challenge for you today. If you've never been born again, you need to be born again, just like Nicodemus. Take that step, and then you will know that you will know that you are born again and that you are saved for all eternity. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that in our 20th year now. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have your support. Keep these radio broadcasts going, and also for the missions in Africa, all the work that we're doing over here. We'd love to have you support that as well. You can contact us, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can contact us at PayPal at paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rau. We'd love to hear from you. Pray about your part. And we thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.